Good morning, friends. Welcome to Prairie Street Mennonite Church, where we gather on this Sunday morning, the first Sunday of Lent, to worship the Lord, our refuge and our fortress. Welcome to all who are gathered in this sanctuary. Welcome to all who are joined to us by listening to tape or podcast. Let us begin by joining our voices to call upon the Lord. Please turn in your Sing the Journey songbook to number 19. And please stand. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46, verse 10. During this season of Lent, we are paying close attention to how the scripture texts present us with a space to wait and to listen. God's word is present among us and delivers us from darkness. In our worship this season of Lent, let us wait patiently in prayer. Let us contemplate the true meaning of the season of Lent. Let us trust that the Spirit of Christ is at work for our salvation. How is God calling Prairie Street into new life? You will notice that in your bulletin this week there is a bookmark. It includes this verse from Psalm 46, as well as a poem that has been inspiring to Janice Wiebe Ohlenberger, who in the visual that she prepared for us for the season of Lent. And so I encourage you to spend some time with this scripture text and this poem and the note from Janice as well. Let us continue in worship with the words of Psalm 91. In the midst of danger and distress, of trouble and of fear, the psalmist trusts God to provide a place of safety and peace. When I begin with the phrase, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High," I invite you to respond will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. They say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Because they love me, says the Lord, I will rescue them. I will protect them, for they acknowledge my name. They will call on me, and I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will deliver them and honor them. With long life I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord, just as the psalmist experienced pestilence and disease, so do in our world, so do we. Arrows and bullets continue to fly. There is confusion and terror in this world and even in our own lives. Lord, just like the psalmist, we long to find in you a place of safety, of love, of peace. Lord, grant us courage. Be indeed a fortress for us, for all who call on your name. Be a strong tower, a place where we may rejoice and delight in your love. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. Now let's sing together again in the blue hymnal, number 327, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is Thy Faithfulness. Please stand.
Thank you.
And number 576, If You But Trust in God.
Now is the time in our service for confession. This is a time to confess our sins, our failures, our limits to God. And it is also a time to confess our trust in God's goodness and grace, to confess our faith that God will free us, will forgive us, and free us to act in righteousness and justice. During the season of Lent, we are focusing on our need to be still, to listen for God's voice, to hear God's word. So at this time, let us take a few moments to bring to our minds the things that distract us from listening for God, the things that make it hard to hear God's word. Let us confess to God all the noise in our lives. Friends, let us lay aside these distractions. Let us remind ourselves and each other of our need to wait for the Lord by singing a simple song. There is an insert in the back of your hymnal if you'd like. You can also listen to the musicians and pick it up as we go. We will be singing, "Wait for the Lord, whose day is near. Wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart." Be strong. Take heart. Please stand as you are able to receive these words of assurance. In goodness and loving kindness, the Lord saves us. Not because of anything we have done, but in mercy. Through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. In the joy of this assurance, friends, let us share with each other the peace of Jesus Christ, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you."
And also with you.
Amen. Our gospel text this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke. The fourth chapter, beginning with the first verse. Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit, and he returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone."
Lucas 4, 1 al 13. Jesús volvió del Jordán lleno del Espíritu Santo y fue llevado por el Espíritu al desierto. Allí estuvo 40 días y el diablo lo estuvo poniendo a prueba. Como durante estos días no comió nada, pasado ese tiempo tuvo hambre. Entonces el diablo le dijo, "Si eres hijo de Dios, di que esta piedra se convierta en pan." Jesús le respondió, "Escrito está, no solo de pan vive el hombre."
Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him."
Entonces el diablo lo llevó a un lugar alto y en un instante le mostró todos los reinos del mundo y le dijo, "Yo te daré poder sobre todos estos reinos y sobre sus riquezas, porque a mí me han sido entregados y yo puedo dárselos a quien yo quiera. Si te arrodillas delante de mí, todos serán tuyos." Jesús le respondió, "Escrito está, al Señor tu Dios adorarás y a Él solo servirás."
Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time.
Entonces, el diablo lo llevó a Jerusalén. Lo puso sobre la parte más alta del templo y le dijo, "Si eres hijo de Dios, lánzate hacia abajo, porque está escrito, a sus ángeles mandará alrededor de ti para que te protejan, y también en sus manos te sostendrá, para que no tropieces con piedra alguna." Jesús le respondió, "También está dicho, no tentarás al Señor tu Dios." Cuando el diablo agotó sus intentos de ponerlo a prueba, se apartó de él por algún tiempo.
The word of the Lord.
Palabra del Señor.
Gracias a Dios. Pastor Francis will be bringing our message this morning, and so let's pray together to prepare our hearts. Lord, as we listen to Pastor Francis' words this morning, open our ears to hear your voice.
Amen.
And soften our hearts to respond to your call, and grant us courage to follow your path. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
The wilderness, a place of stillness, a time to be still, lots of space, long horizons, and silence. The silence in which the small sounds can emerge, the sliding shift of grain of sand upon grain of sand, the distant cry of a bird so far away it cannot be seen. The silence to hear your own body, the breath moving in, the breath moving out, the short pause before it begins again, the beating of the heart, the pulse, the long morning shadow that gradually shortens to the noonday stub and lengthens again, disappearing into darkness. The stillness of the wilderness, room for questions, room for the questions that really matter, the important questions, room for the possibility of new insight, new clearer calling. And then the hunger. What could be more human than the hunger? What a way for the divine Son of God to enter into humanity and enter into the pattern of the 40 days, God's ancient pattern for leading God's people. Noah, 40 days and 40 nights of rain while God changed the world. The people of Israel, God's children, in the wilderness for 40 years, learning the guidance, learning to trust God, opening up to readiness for new possibilities. Jesus hearing, "You are my beloved Son. You are beloved. I call you by name and you are mine." Would there be any other way for Jesus to enter into the call of being God on earth? 40 days in the wilderness. And after 40 days, a voice in the wilderness and through the hunger. "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Maybe even the devil understood this time in Jesus' life. This time in the wilderness was about living into being the Son of God and to being human, walking among the humans in healing and in ministry. You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. Being the Beloved Son of God was now bound forever with also being human. As human, Jesus was famished, starving, empty. And the tempter came to try to use that most human experience, hunger, to turn Jesus from knowing his identity and his call. For after all, if God was going to use this thing of being human, and what a foolish thing that was, surely the weakness of humanity would offer a way to turn his path. If you are the Son of God, are you still God in there? Hungry? Maybe you're not really God after all. And Jesus reaches to the wisdom and the teaching of the story of the wilderness, hunger and God's provision, manna for the people of Israel in the desert, and the words that God gave to them there. One does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Feeling so very empty, and emptiness as a way to recognize and embrace real fullness, true satisfaction. Jesus would indeed, in his ministry, go and make bread, lots of it. He would do it, the very thing, enough to feed 5,000 plus women and children. And after feeding the people, when they came to him desiring more bread, he would teach, "I am the bread of life. I am the word that comes from the mouth of God. Live on the word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus, who in his last day would take bread, bless it, give it, and say, "This is my body broken for you. I am bread." Bread and hunger remain as holy. Jesus in the wilderness, so very empty. Jesus in the wilderness, so very full of God. Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If then you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus, your call is to be a leader, to be a teacher, right? To be the very presence of the divine on earth. What could be better, more helpful to your ministry than having immediate glory and authority? Is this also one of our deeply human needs? Glory and authority? Do I really want glory and authority? Sounds a bit intense, like running for president. But I do know what I want. I want to matter to the people around me. I want to belong. I want to fit in and make a difference. Jesus came to draw people to God, to restore relationship, to reveal God, to bring God's message, love the Lord your God, love your neighbor. Glory and authority were part of God's plan for Jesus. But it was glory and authority that came through yieldedness over the long journey, through giving of self, through relinquishing power. The glory and authority which were given were the gift of right relationship with God. Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Again, Jesus is quoting Moses, leader of the people through the wilderness. Words spoken to prepare the people leaving the wilderness and entering the promised land. More wilderness wisdom. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Cast yourself down. Leap off the pinnacle. You're here in this time and place to do something remarkable, to do this God thing. So go ahead and get on with it. Jesus was indeed called to leap, to give himself completely, to trust God. How closely the deceiver plays the truth. But God decides when and how. Not a choice offered to Jesus or anyone else. But when the God-appointed time and place came to give himself, it seems Jesus was indeed dashed upon the stone. On the path with foot against stone, Jesus, the beloved Son of God, stumbled and fell under the heavy load of the cross. Then his feet would indeed be dashed, smashed violently by the heavy spikes driven through the bone. It seems the angels were restrained from delivering Jesus, from bearing him up. I have heard it imagined that the angels, the heavenly host, strained and yearned to come plummeting down to rescue Jesus, to stop the human madness that failed to recognize love in human form. Pettiness and self-importance and greed and fear could only act to destroy. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. More words from Moses. This is what you've learned in the wilderness. Take this wisdom with you as you enter the land. Moses leading to the promised land. Jesus leading to the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't jump from that pinnacle. He did hurl himself into the abyss for humanity. Perhaps the one most surprised, most taken aback, most fooled was the tempter himself. With no capacity to imagine such yielding of self to God. And no capacity to understand, to imagine what God would do with such a thing. But it's only the first Sunday of Lent. And that part of the story waits to be told. Maybe the invitation, the gift for us today at the beginning of Lent is to put ourselves to the test. What do you really believe? Much of my time is spent with people of pretty much similar faith to mine. Faith assumed, comfortably embraced, normal for us, not so much for others. Maybe it's a time to step back, to see how strange, how surprising our faith really is. Angels or no angels, rescue or not, can we place ourselves in God's hands? The test is not for God. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. The test is for us. The test with no easy answers, and sometimes with no answers at all. What a shortage of wilderness we seem to have, and the gifts of the wilderness. Emptiness, relationship, testing. What does God most want to give you? Jesus was sent by the Spirit, full of the Spirit, into the wilderness to receive what he needed. We all have our own temptations, and yes, our own wilderness. If we're lucky, if we don't miss the wilderness opportunity. Lent is the season to find entry into the wilderness, that space. To hear again, or to hear maybe for the first time, your own call from God. The call that always begins with, "You are my beloved." And then to open yourselves to hunger and to emptiness, which we so often mask and miss by consuming too much, eating too much, filling ourselves and our lives with stuff, with media, with noise and connection. May we make room for hunger so that we may be filled with God. May we find the belonging we seek in worshiping God, in relationship nurtured by love of God and love of neighbor. And may we know that the test is not for God, but for us. This first Sunday of Lent, come ready to enter some piece of wilderness, ready to receive the gifts of the wilderness, seeking the space that makes space, listening for deep rhythms. This first Sunday of Lent at Prairie Street, Janice Wiebe Olenberger offers us the gift of this visual on the table, and the gift of words from her time in the wilderness on the bookmarks in your bulletin and throughout the season available on the back table. The words from Wendell Berry, author and farmer. Sit and be still until in the time of no rain you hear beneath the day's wind's commotion in the trees the sound of water among the rocks, a stream unheard before, and you are where breathing is prayer. Seek your wilderness space. Find your questions. Sit with your questions. Come to the wilderness. Come to the stillness. Come to listen. Meet Jesus. Name the temptations, all in our world that is false and fake and cheap and empty. And then receive what is true. Come to be hungry. Come to name your deepest need and desire. Come to give yourself. Amen.
Blue Hymnal, number 358, Oyenos mi Dios.
Everyone is warmly welcome to the coffee and conversation time down in the fellowship hall. And then there are learning opportunities for all age groups. Please take advantage. Receive now this blessing. Dear friends, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with us this week and always. Amen.